Here we go.
So let's talk about the movie we just got done watching.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
It surprised me.
Great movie.
This just feels like a movie that is being made to exploit the masses.
Oh yeah, I'd like to see that. It's not a bad film.
It's just bad.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And that movie sucked.
Yeah, well, hello.
Welcome back to another episode of That Movie Podcast, Film Talk Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Quincy. It is June 10th, 2012. And we're going to start things off with a segment we like to call Now Playing.
Prometheus just opened up Friday.
We both went to see it.
Yeah.
So, we have not discussed it at all.
This should be interesting, because... Right, yeah, I basically saw this under duress because I'm doing this damn podcast. I have been just so annoyed with the whole Alien franchise since the third film that...
Yeah. You have to admit, though, this didn't really have anything to do with the Alien franchise.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it
this
did,
this is the whole backstory.
Yeah, kind of.
And they got everything wrong.
Okay, like what?
Let's like what? In. All right, here we go. Well, the big iconic shots, you know, because when the group from Alien first walk in and they find the big ship and everything, and you see this giant of a person sitting in this chair with his chest exploded out. Yeah, he wasn't in the chair when his chest exploded out. He was there in the little cargo bay, and the thing comes out and... We get our first shot of it.
Couldn't it have been a different person?
There was only the one guy left.
Yeah, but couldn't... I mean, an alien, couldn't it have been a different room that they found? With the big, giant space jockey guy with the chest bursting out, or...
We never saw that room.
I don't know.
There was nothing coming out, so, you know.
I don't remember Alien. I wish I would have seen it before I saw Prometheus. Just so it would have been fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember.
Yep, and then there was a whole thing, because, yeah, they had that shot just completely bogged up. What was the other thing that just annoyed the piss out of me? The fact that it's, what, like 2097, and they're still talking about Stephen Stills and how he's got this antique accordion. I'm going, has nothing happened since 2012 that, you know...
In your opinion, what has happened musically since, like, the 70s?
Well, you had the 80s.
But not much, right?
You
know, so it's not completely out of the question that good old boy Captain Jones would still be playing his accordion. And I mean, that was, like, just insert generic, oh, we gotta create characters, so let's give this guy an accordion.
Exactly.
And, I thought there was
no character in this movie.
There was, except for David.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender's, the android, is the only one that was interesting at all.
Yeah.
All of them were, like, completely void of any kind of arc or interesting traits or any backstory. I mean, the main lady, she had, like, they tried to establish, like, with her father dying and then wearing the cross, but yet having proof that these... space things created them, but yet still wanted to believe in God, and it was like it tried to do so much, and it just really, I mean, okay, my initial reactions, when I walked out of the theater, I was like, yeah, that was pretty good. I was never bored. I was like, I thought it was visually amazing, but then the more I think about it, and the more I kind of look back on it, and it was just kind of like, they're just, not a lot really happened. It doesn't really stand up to introspect or reflection at all. No. You know what? It was okay.
Yeah, it's like nothing happens in this movie. You know,
it had a couple really good intense scenes. I thought the monsters were really cool. I thought that, I thought it was visually beautiful. I mean, I thought that it was really cool.
Okay, I'll give you a visual.
a lot of I mean, it had things that, I mean, I was never bored. I was never ready to just walk out. I didn't hate my experience, but I saw it in the IMAX 3D. I thought the 3D was incredible.
I saw it in 3D as well. It wasn't IMAX, but I don't know. I could have taken or leaving it.
I thought it really helped immerse into the story. I think I would have been bored if I wouldn't have seen it in IMAX 3D. I think how loud it is in there, it helped keep me awake and keep my attention. My daughter fell asleep.
Oh, God.
My 15-year-old went to see it with us, and she fell asleep. I thought the whole surgery scene, I thought that was intense. I mean, I thought the scene with the creatures in the water was intense. You know, I mean, I thought that a couple things, there were several scenes that worked. And like when they, you know, lower the door and the dude is like the crab monster thing out there. And, you know, I thought that was really creepy. But then they didn't really do anything with
exactly.
it. And then when it's all said and done, you're just kind of like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time to get going.
Yep.
And then once it got going, I was never bored. But then once it was all done, you're kind of like, well, that's it. And also, I mean, I got to say, I think the preview showed so much of it. It showed the climax of the movie. It's ridiculous.
I know.
And if you listen to our last podcast, I even said that when we discussed Prometheus. I say basically what the climax of the movie is. I don't want to repeat it now, I guess. Don't want to be a spoiler pants, but
I think it's a little late for that. It was just not working. I mean,
because a friend of mine that went to see it with us, he really enjoyed it.
Really?
But he had never seen a preview. Intentionally had never seen anything, and he's not the world's biggest Alien fan, so he really kind of watched it on its own merits.
Hmm.
And he enjoyed it. So
I guess if you'd never seen an Alien film before, it might hold up something, but yeah, because my other question too is how come, you know, much like every other damn prequel that seems to come out these days, why is the technology so much more advanced in the past than it is in the, you know, quote unquote present?
Yeah.
You know,
to be honest with you, that's a complaint I heard from the first time the preview started showing.
And, mm-hmm. I remember seeing the previews for it, and I'm just going, why is everything so
but I also think that it wasn't, I thought they did an okay job. I mean, there is definitely that element, but there wasn't as much as I thought it'd be. I thought it still, they kept it fairly kind of low tech and not completely more, there wasn't a ton of stuff that was way more advanced than what was in the original couple of Aliens. You know, I mean, they still had just, like, the little beaker things that kind of could see if there's alien life forms. They had that in Aliens.
Yeah, but you had the sleep chamber. You had, you know, which was, like, model 5.0 compared to what they were using in Aliens.
Sure.
You had, well, that chamber where, you know, it's, that performs the surgery, which I found that amusing that they only use a local anesthetic to do, like, disemboweling.
Oh yeah,
and it only
and
cuts
the fact that she could run a marathon.
Oh, it only it cuts through like one layer of skin, and you know reaches in, pulls this thing out, and then staples her up, and then yeah, she's able to just you know go off and sprint. I'm just going, no. It's like anybody who's ever had a C-section, you know, it's like you've got like layers of skin in there. You gotta sew that shit back up. It's like seriously, that was just.
Alex, lasers can do amazing things.
Oh, I'm sure they
okay,
can.
You know, your pessimism. I don't like your narrow view of the future. Surgeries are going to be like that. You're going to be able to have things removed. And
I'm sure
you know,
they will.
We really got to quit talking about specifics, though, because we're really being spoiler heavy.
Well, maybe that's for the best. People should save your damn money and not see this piece of crap movie.
After the movie, we snuck into Snow White. And
so what did you finally think of that movie?
We watched about the first half hour and walked out.
Oh.
And it wasn't bad, but I think after Prometheus, I was just kind of, I didn't feel like seeing another movie.
Exactly.
So I just kind of, we left and we were all fine with leaving. And yeah, it was, I don't know.
Yeah, Prometheus just, admittedly, I was not really looking forward to it, but I was kind of willing to just go into it and have an open mind. But yeah, when you just start blatantly insulting me, I'm just going, I'm not into your movie at all. I just kept thinking midichlorians the whole time. I'm just going, really?
I thought it was neat. I mean, I kind of liked the backstory. You know, I liked how it kind of explained where the evolution of the aliens. You know, I thought it was cool the big giant squid thing turned out to be, you know, kind of the first face hugger.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the monsters that they came up with were cool. I thought it was neat how it showed and the whole concept that it was this, you know, warfare, biological warfare thing that kind of got out of hand.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool concept, but I was like, well, if they're just trying to kill what they created, then why did they do all the caves all around the world inviting mm-hmm. people to come there?
Yeah.
And why there if that was just like this way planet where they just made stuff? Yeah, this little satellite
station that
it was like a manufacturing plant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of it just didn't, it's like when looking back on it, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah,
and then also, the other thing, you know, if you've got, what's her name, Noomi Rapace or whatever, however you pronounce that, she speaks perfect English, she's from Earth, but yet, when the Nostromo finds the distress signal, you know, it takes Mother like a day to interpret this thing because it was in a foreign language. As far as they're going, oh, wait, that's not a distress signal. That's telling us, stay the hell away from this. When the hell was that sent? And why wasn't it sent in English?
Maybe she didn't send it. I mean, there could be, like, stuff that happened between Alien and Prometheus, right? It's not like the end of... Because, I mean, they were already evolved into these creatures with the pods for the facehuggers and... They had already, like, replicated the whole canisters. By the time the Nostromo went there, got there an alien, right?
Yeah.
So it had been several years, if not hundreds of years. So in theory, it could have been, you know, someone else, even more space jockeys had landed and did the whole throne chest-bursting thing. I mean, in theory, it could have. There could have been more because, I mean, the alien, they're a lot more advanced than the very beginning when it was just... The first alien that was born, it wasn't, you know, it hadn't even evolved to the full mouth shooting out. It was just kind of...
Yeah, well, it had developed that second set of jaws.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same that they saw. The facehugger hadn't developed into the pod. It hadn't, you know, so there had to be years taking place between there for the evolution of that. So, I mean, that's all I'm saying. And there are a possibility that these issues that you had with it could have necessarily been... That this wasn't really the prequel that it was set up to be.
Yeah, it is possible, but yeah. When you're telling me that it's like this thing is the prequel, I'm just going...
But he never even claimed it was a prequel. He said that it was just a film that took place kind of in the Alien universe and kind of showed...
They've been saying that they were going to do two Alien prequels, and that the second one got scrubbed, which I'm just kind of thinking, so why have the ending where she flies off, you know, in search of her makers... You know, going to the home world, I'm like, oh, okay. So now you're just going and flying off. Yeah, I don't see a second movie coming out of this. But, yeah, especially now that he's working on the Blade Runner sequel.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, I'm sorry, if you're not going to bring back Harrison Ford and Sean Young, scrub the project, okay? Even if you are... We've all seen what happens.
The only reason Sean Young worked in the first one is she was having to play a robot. Yeah. That's about her acting ability.
Hell yeah. It's so funny. She was great in that movie. It was all the others that she did. You're just kind of going, oh.
Yeah, because she couldn't portray emotion. So she was perfect for her. Oh, man. So, yeah. So, any other thoughts on Prometheus?
Outside of it sucked, no.
Let me ask you this. Okay, this is just another question that's kind of perplexed me. What was the point of that opening scene? Was showing the alien breaking the stuff and then it deteriorating and dropping? Because that was on the alien home planet, right?
Well, yeah, it was there on that... I was assuming it was still there on that planet that they were, that the whole
the
thing
was
taking.
The station planet?
Yeah, that the whole thing was taking.
But that one looked like it was all like desert and everything, and this one looked like all lush, and I thought that it was taking place on like their home planet, where that she was eventually trying to sail to at the end.
Maybe
but regardless, I mean,
what was the point of this whole scene? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did he know what he was drinking? Was that, like, supposedly the first time that it happened?
Yeah, this is supposed to make him into a god? I'm just going...
Yeah, was he intentionally, like, getting infected?
Yeah.
Or was it an accident? Did he just think he was taking a tea break? And then he drank it accidentally? I mean...
I don't think it was an accident. I think he
So you think he was intentionally ingesting...
Intentionally, but
that
I...
virus thing.
Think that...
That they were manufacturing.
See, I didn't necessarily assume that it was the virus that they were creating, but yeah, you definitely raise a good question of what is this all leading to, and again, maybe it was something they were going to touch on in the second film, which is why, you know, but
maybe
it's like, if you know offhand, you're not going to do a second film, it's like, why are you setting all this crap up? It just flopped for me.
Wasn't the writer, like one of the writers of Lost or something like that? Didn't I read that right?
Quite possibly. He's a producer on the untitled Star Trek sequel. Yay.
Oh, don't even get me started. Oh, he wrote Cowboys and Aliens. Yeah, he wrote for Lost.
Okay.
Yeah, no wonder it sucked.
See, personally, I like Cowboys and Aliens, but... I also like Lost, but I did not like Prometheus.
I thought the first.
I did not like
Lost
Star Trek 11, but
I love the new Star Trek. That's the first Star Trek that I've liked outside of Wrath of Khan.
Well,
I'm not a big Star Trek fan. No. It bores the crap out of me.
So why did you even bother?
Because I thought the preview looked good. Okay. I like J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
I saw it. I ended up seeing it like 3 times in the theater. I loved it. Yeah, that was great. Well, it was like,
it
was Star Trek for the Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I saw it once.
That's what it was. It was great. It had monsters, action.
I mean, I'll admit, as a writing exercise, it was creative because, you know, basically it just felt like somebody had gone into a creative writing class and was like, okay, here's what I need. I need to pump new fresh blood into my Star Wars or my Star Trek franchise, but... I want to draw a new crowd, and I don't want to alienate my old crowd. Go. I thought it did a very good job of doing that. Because it wasn't just Star Trek the reboot, it was Star Trek 11.
Yeah.
But everything outside of that, I'm just going, no. 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 Wrong. No. Fail. So.
I thought Chris Pine was a great Captain Kirk. I thought the...
Yeah, he did a decent job.
The Zachary Quinto that they got for Spock. Yeah. I thought he did a great job.
He was a bit too emotional for my taste, but Bones.
Was great.
Yeah, I forget his name too. Yeah, he was good.
The Chekhov was great.
I don't remember him. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I was not impressed. But that and those fucking light flares every damn time you walk by something.
You know what? Find J.J. Abrams, write him a letter. That's like his signature. He does it in everything that he does.
Once in a while is okay. This was in every freaking shot.
It wasn't in every shot, but it did. It was overused.
It was distracting.
Sure. Yeah. It was. It's the same thing in, was it Super 8? I thought it got distracting as well.
Yeah, I never bothered with Super 8.
Yeah.
That just made me think too much of Explorers.
Yeah.
Once, you know.
One really explores.
Well, thank God for that.
I thought it was kind of like Jaws. If at the end of Jaws you found out it was a dolphin instead of a shark. So, that's, you know, it wasn't bad, but it just kind of felt ripped off when you find out the why of everything.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So.
So, yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that we both were... less than impressed with Prometheus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Save your money.
Yes. Watch the original. Alien? Alien's
great.
Go see
Avengers again.
Hell yeah, go see the Avengers again. I think that's kind of the problem with this whole summer is the fact that you've got the Avengers kicking it off. And it's just kind of like everything else. It's like, that was okay, but wow, the Avengers. I could go see that movie one more time.
Yeah. I agree. So, let's move on to recently viewed.
Recently viewed, yeah. We just recently viewed the short film Spider.
Yes. It's a short film by Nash Edgerton. It's only 9 minutes long. It's available instant stream on Netflix. Highly recommend you just take the 10 minutes and watch it.
Yeah.
It's a fun little 9 minutes. It's got a couple good little left hooks waiting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I remember seeing this theatrically. It played in front of, if you ever saw The Square, it played in front of it. Yeah, it's one of those movies that you kind of go along with it, and then you're just like, did that just happen? Wow. Okay.
So yeah, I'd recommend, not knowing anything about it, don't read the synopsis, just press play.
Yep.
Just find it, press play. That's 10 minutes later, you'll be laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Or you'll be very shocked.
Yeah. Either or. Guaranteed to have a good experience either way.
In the interest of full disclosure, I did recommend it to a girl at work, and her husband were not happy with me.
Really?
Yeah, they were very very irritated because they do not like any kind of like shocking.
Oh.
Well, and to me, I thought it tells a very great lesson.
Exactly.
And
it's a cautionary tale.
It is. It's like, like what we used to see when we were growing up.
Yeah.
After school special. Let all the bull crap. So. Anyway, so yeah. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is only available until June 24th on Netflix, so get to it.
I figured they would have kept that thing around for a while.
Well, it's been on there for a good 6 months to a year. I've watched it. Today was probably about my 9th time seeing it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it made the rounds through the IFC channel every so often.
Mm.
Back when I used to have IFC, but
it's good.
Those were other days. So, all right. So yeah, Spider, and then what? You've got a video pick or?
Oh yeah, there's also a couple documentaries available on Netflix Instant Stream, and one of them I watched recently called The Reenactors. It's directed by David Markey, and it was made in 2008, and it's basically about all the people that dress up as characters and stand out in front of the Man's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard.
They dress up like superheroes, right?
Yeah. I've seen some of them, but yeah, they do superheroes. They also do just movie characters. Like, I mean, it runs the gamut. Anywhere from, like, Pinhead to Tigger. And
maybe I haven't seen.
And they're essentially like panhandlers, to where they get tourists to take pictures with them, and then they want tips.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, I was watching this, and like a year ago, I had saw a different documentary, essentially about the same thing, and it was called Confessions of a Superhero.
That's the one I saw. Yeah. Okay.
And they're both available on Netflix, and I suggest watching both of them. They're both very interesting. Confessions of a Superhero, that one was directed by Matt Ogens, and it came out in 2007, and it mainly follows Superman, Wonder Woman, the Hulk, and Batman.
Yeah.
And kind of tells their story, and it's where you kind of learn that Batman, essentially, he's kind of like a George Clooney lookalike, and he has a really bad temper, and he ends up, like, he gets really, sometimes physical with these tourists, and has landed in jail a couple times, and has gotten fines, and it's interesting. Confessions of a Superhero is very, it's kind of quirky, and it's almost endearing with the characters, whereas The Reenactors, it's more kind of depressing, and it more deals with just kind of the life on there, and like it follows two of the characters. One of them plays Jack Sparrow, and then Elizabeth Swan. And it's basically like they're dating in real life, and they decide to get married, but they have like this Pirates of the Caribbean marriage.
Oh,
and
boy.
Yeah, it's depressing. It's kind of it's more somber in nature, the whole kind of documentary. So, check them out.
Okay.
You watch anything?
I did. Let's see. I watched a movie. called Crisis. A little off the beaten path. It's from 1950. It's got Cary Grant and Jose Ferrar. Cary Grant plays this brain surgeon who is on... Yeah, I know. Anything before 1985 you're not interested in.
But, I'm sorry. I fell asleep here. My bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, Cary Grant is this... He's this brain surgeon who's on vacation with his wife in this... You know, it's a very ambiguous Spanish-speaking country. And Jose Ferrar is the dictator down there. And he, of course, you know, he's got this brain tumor. And so... He is essentially holding Cary Grant in the country. He refuses to let him leave until he can basically operate and make him better. But while he's there, he starts talking to just the local people. And they're on the verge of just a bloody coup. And so he's kind of torn. He's like, well, you know, it's like I do have the Hippocratic Oath where I must heal this guy. But at the same time, if my scalpel just goes, whoops! I could be a national hero and really do some good down in this country. So it's really just about his whole crisis of conscience, if you will, as far as what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. So.
And what makes it good?
The story. The characters.
So it doesn't have the bad acting that all those old movies have, or the crappy production values, or
no,
the cheesy "hey, we're filming a play" type of vibe. No.
You know, it's back when movies used to be good. Yeah.
Whatever. There's a reason why, like, kids, you can get your kids to watch like the movies we grew up in.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get kids to watch that crap because it's not good. I mean, the stories may have been good, but dude. Watching a lot of those, you gotta admit, it's like watching a high school play. It's like the acting is so bad that, I mean, I don't know.
Sure, some of the melodramas, I'll grant you.
I find them painful.
Yeah.
That's why I'd remake them.
No.
Remake them. Do it good. God. Make it good.
Why not just move forward? Why do we have to keep remaking everything?
Because there's good stories to tell, but you can't watch them because you're so bored you want to stab your eyes out with a knife. Is that really what you want from a movie? Not me. So you remake it to where someone wants to watch it, where it's watchable.
So you're telling me that, you know, in like a couple of years somebody's going to remake Prometheus? Make it watchable? Make it enjoyable?
Would you say that Prometheus had a great story, but it was the acting and the visuals and the stunted production values that made it limited? I would not.
No.
I would say Prometheus suffered in the storyline.
I would say Prometheus
needed to
just be
scrubbed. Whereas you said the only good thing about Crisis was the storyline. Or that's what really sold it. That's what, and I would agree. I think that a lot of older movies have very interesting storylines because they did know how to tell an interesting story with good characters. But it's all the other things that make them unwatchable. So remake them. That's my point. Don't remake crap. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, The Island and Dr. Moreau, don't ever remake it. Okay? It's been remade enough. But...
Yeah.
There's some, like, sounds like Crisis might be a prime candidate. I don't know. I may be wrong. I may be crazy. I may be the only one to feel like this. I don't think
probably
so. I don't think so. I mean, given I may be the only person that has ever literally said they should remake Crisis, but I haven't watched a lot of movies, but I did watch the first season of Walking Dead again. Because I liked the second season so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched the first season, and I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. But I didn't think it'd have a lot of re-watch value.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been like a year, and then I saw season two. And I really, really enjoyed season two.
Okay.
And... But I didn't remember a lot of the stuff they were talking about, and the relationships, and what had happened, so... Me and my wife were like, well, let's rewatch the first season. It's on Netflix, so
yeah.
We've really had to see if we can get sponsorship from Netflix. Because we really pimp the hell out of that service. But it's a great service. But
Netflix really, and IMDb, if you're listening, please send us money.
Yeah, we really
we pimp the hell out of it.
We're going to look into that. But yeah. Anyway,
We can just start referring to you as, well, that service that, you know, we have.
And we started watching, my daughter came in when we were watching the second episode, and she totally got sucked in, and then we ended up watching the entire season, like, within 3 or 4 days with her.
Oh, yeah.
And she really liked it, so now we're getting ready to start the season, second season again.
Yeah, out of fairness, I should probably watch season two again, just because I was watching it as it was coming out. And, you know, I mean, it was okay. It held my attention, but that show just moved so slow that I noticed, because I actually did this, like, I missed out on a couple episodes because, you know, crazy shit was going on. And by the time I got back to it, I was just going, okay. And they were talking about a couple of things, and they had, of course, you know, their recap, you know, previously on, you know, Walking Dead. Just from that recap and the fact that the storyline really hadn't moved forward, yeah, I was totally able to follow that other episode. And, you know, I think there was like one other one after that, and then that was the season wrap up. And I was like, well, okay, I guess I don't need to see those other two episodes. So,
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not the fastest paced show in the world.
Oh, no. But yeah, I did enjoy season one. I thought that one was pretty good. In fact, that was the whole reason that sucked me into season two.
Well, there you go.
But I don't know if I'll be coming back for season three.
Yeah. Do you watch anything else?
Not lately. I don't really have a TV.
That's right. Well, that makes it difficult.
Yeah. I don't have a TV.
Walk up to any stranger's house and look through the window.
I don't have a DVD player.
You should really just like walk up to someone's house and just knock on the door and be like, hey, are you guys watching anything? Because I do not have a TV or a DVD player, and I'd really like to just watch something. I've read for like 4 weeks straight. My eyes hurt. Can I just watch Seinfeld? Is that on? Anything?
Although, interestingly enough, a good friend of mine did recently send me the first 3 seasons of The Incredible Hulk. So I may just start popping those in the laptop.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't seen that show since I was a kid.
And why do you think that is?
Do
you think it's aged?
Because
well,
it's
is
never
there any
been
way that it
syndicated,
well?
So, you know.
Really?
If it has, it played at, like, you know, 3 in the morning on... you know, Telemundo or something. I don't know. Cause,
yeah. So if it has, you just weren't motivated enough to find it. That's what you're telling me.
Apparently not.
You just didn't apply yourself, Alex.
But I did enjoy the show. So, yeah, I'm tempted to go back.
Oh, yeah. I loved it when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just can't imagine. It's one of those I don't want to see. You know, some of those, you just don't want to ruin that memory that you have. And you know that it can't age like Wonder Woman. Like, I used to love that as a kid, but I do not want to watch that at all because I know it does not age well.
I have heard very mixed reviews.
Buck Rogers. Loved it as a kid. I would not want to watch it now.
Yeah, I made that mistake. Well, I can't really say it was a mistake because, you know, it's like even at the time that I was watching Buck Rogers, I just kept thinking, it's like, yeah, this is really cool, but yeah, it's also kind of, you know, just campy and corny and Glenn Larson, you know, just going... okay. But yeah, somebody picked up, I guess that was a job I used to have, and we just put it up on the monitor. Wow. It's admittedly, I mean, it still suffers the same problems that it did when I watched it the first time around. When they were in New Chicago and on Earth, yeah, the show really kind of moved and had a purpose. When they went on, what was it, the Explorer or whatever, and you had Hawk and the little Hawk chick and Dr. What's-His-Name, and oh my God, that show just went downhill fast. And
I don't even remember.
Oh, you're lucky.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I remember there was a movie theater in the downtown Olathe as a kid.
Yeah.
They played a double feature of Battlestar Galactica pilot and the Buck Rogers pilot.
I remember when both of those came out.
It was sweet.
I never did see... the Buck Rogers movie, just because I think it actually played theatrically before it came to television.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Yeah, but it's like I think the closest theater from where I was living was like Crown Center or something like this. And I was living in Overland Park, so it's like, you know, back then, going all that way. You know, that really was a haul.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Olathe, you know, used to be a long-distance phone call when I was a kid. So,
yeah.
You know, how the times have changed. Now it's a hop, skip, and a jump down the street. But I do remember the Battlestar Galactica film, and they had, the Sensaround? You know, the big speakers that they brought in. And,
yeah.
You know, it was Rumble Vision or whatever the hell they were calling it. And that was really about the coolest thing I thought, because I almost felt cheated in a way, because I'm sitting there and I'm all pumped up to see this movie, and I'm dragging my mom and making her go see it, because that was my job. You know, that was the target audience. I'm watching this, I'm just going, I've seen this. I watched this on television, damn it. But it was still cool to see it projected on the big screen.
Yeah.
You know, but you're just going, oh man, I thought this was going to be like a whole new movie. But
yeah. So what movie do you think you saw the most as a kid?
I would probably say Star Wars.
Yeah.
I remember. When that movie was out theatrically back in 1977, a good friend of mine and I, like every Saturday, that was almost like our ritual. Because by this point, I think we were going to different schools. And so we just basically kind of meet up on the weekends and just be like, well, what do you want to do? You know, it was a typical kid thing. I was like, what do you want to do? Let's go see a movie. Okay, what's out? This, or this. It's like, oh, that doesn't look good. Let's go see Star Wars again. Yeah, okay. You know, and my mom's even like, you're seeing this movie again? I mean, we must have seen that thing probably, I would say, easily 5 times. I mean, just every weekend. And then eventually the movie just got pulled. And before the, you know, advent of, you know, home video, you know, that was pretty much what you had to go off of. Is you watched a movie until it went away. So,
that's
probably about the one that I can lay claim to seeing the most. You know, there was probably a couple in high school that I might have watched 2 or 3 times theatrically, but
for me, hands down, it's Clash of the Titans. My, it seemed like, and you know, when you're a kid, it seems like you do things like every week.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it could have very been like 3 times in actuality, but I could swear that it seemed like every Wednesday after church, we would go to the Trail Theater, and the show, the movie Clash of the Titans, was showing, and it was basically already be started.
Okay.
So, and the people would just let us in for free. So my mom would take me and my brothers to see Clash of the Titans. It seemed like every Wednesday, like a month after church, we'd go see Clash of the Titans and always miss like the first, you know, 5-10 minutes. But we knew what it was anyway because we saw it like 2 times in the theater before we started doing it, you know, like a weekly thing. So, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I would say recently. I've seen The Avengers 4 times. And probably the only movie that I've seen on purpose that many times, you can relate to this. I think I must have seen Johnny Mnemonic like 3 times theatrically before the damn thing came out, because I kept having to build it up, screen it, run it through, tear it back down, we get another new print, build that thing up. Yeah, I think I saw that thing like 3 times in like a week and a half. And
that's when they thought it was going to be like this big hit.
Oh, yeah, and it was a big knot. You know?
It was a huge
ball. Yeah, it was worth seeing once, but yeah, after that I'm just going, God, I got to watch this piece of crap again.
Yeah.
Fuck. But yeah, I would say before that, the only movie that I saw on purpose numerous times was Goodfellas, and I saw that thing like 8 times.
Nice.
Amazingly enough, I have not seen it since.
Goodfellas?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I kind of just hit my fill.
It was with Pulp Fiction.
I might have seen it once since. I mean, you know, probably caught it on cable, or I think somebody actually gave it to me for my birthday or Christmas 1 year. So I'm like, oh, okay, I haven't seen this in a good 2, 3, whatever years. Popped it in, watched it. I'm just going, still just as good as I remember it. Okay, don't need to watch this. So it's just ingrained in there, you know.
That's how I am with Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I saw that so many times.
So, I think everybody saw that movie so many times, especially working in a movie theater.
Yeah.
It did not help.
All right. Well, we're going to end our show with looking at what's coming out in theaters the upcoming Friday, and kind of giving our thoughts on what we might want to see.
Yeah.
Looks like That's My Boy with Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg, which looks like complete crap to me.
Yeah, I'll be skipping that one.
I mean, the preview, Adam Sandler's little water boy voice that he's doing again, is so irritating.
See, I haven't actually heard the thing. I always see it at work.
I should make you watch the preview. And then Rock of Ages, I think it looks pretty lame.
Yeah.
I think
I was actually interested
about 10 years ago, it could have been really cool.
Before I saw the preview for it, because I always saw the commercial for the stage play, and I was always intrigued as to what it was actually about. But I did see the preview for the film, and I'm just going, oh, that's it. Well, now I know.
Yeah.
You know? It's nothing you haven't seen before. It's like, okay. You know, aging rock star kind of passes the torch. It's like, yay. All right, I'm sure that the soundtrack will be great, but it's going to just be cover tunes, so it's...
Yeah, mashups of 80s hair metal.
Yeah. You know, it's like when, you know, everybody was doing, you know, remaking the ABBA songs for Mamma Mia. It's like, that's nice. Okay. ABBA covers.
Then there's, lastly, some movie called Your Sister's Sister. You know anything about this, Alex?
I can't say that I do. Who's in this?
Is that Emily Blunt, Mark Duplass, Rosemary DeWitt? Looks like it's a dramedy.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. A tale of grief, romance, and sibling rivalry that continues to showcase Shelton's extraordinary ability to portray human stories with remarkable humor, sensitivity, and warmth. And that's for Lynn Shelton, the writer-director.
Yeah, kind of sounds like a Taco Bell movie.
What's that mean?
Basically, a Taco Bell film, you pretty much know when you go to Taco Bell what you're going to get.
Gotcha. I would agree.
You know? Like, yeah, you pretty much know what you're going to get with that movie. You're going to walk out. You're going to go, yeah, that was nice. You know, kind of like Taco Bell. Just walk out. I was hungry. Now I'm not. I wanted to see a movie. Now I've seen one.
Okay, well, means I'm going to be on vacation next week.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and look at the ones that are coming out on June 22nd as well and give our opinions.
All right.
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Great book. I don't see how they're going to do the movie any justice.
But, so the whole director of Night Watch and Tim Burton's involvement doesn't do anything for you?
Tim Burton's involvement actually scares me away from it.
You don't think he's a decent producer?
What's he produced lately outside of his own stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Coraline.
Did he do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what is your take on what's the director's name? Tamir. He's Russian.
Yeah, Tamir.
He did Wanted. What did you think of Wanted?
I remember at the time walking out of it thinking, yeah, that was okay, but then, you know, kind of reflecting back on it, I was just like, it wasn't all that in a bag of chips.
To me, it was like a 14-year-old rented Fight Club and The Matrix on the weekend and was like, man, I want to write a movie.
Yeah.
And they wrote one.
I can agree with that, yeah.
And so, I...
I'm sure Wanted was a really interesting...
comic.
Yeah, comic. But as a movie, I was just like, eh.
Now, you weren't a fan of Night Watch, correct?
No, I enjoyed it.
I love Night Watch.
I haven't seen Day Watch.
Don't.
Okay.
Just let Night Watch be a wonderful memory. I was
Isn't there a third one?
Watch. No, I don't think it's going to happen. There should be.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's
going to happen. I think there were three books. I've always been intrigued to read the books.
But I'm kind of intrigued about Abraham Lincoln and Vampire Hunter. I mean, probably a rental.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I want to go see it in the theater unless everyone's telling me that it's really cool. You know, if everyone's like, oh, it's pretty fun, I may go. Just kind of
Fun story, but I mean, especially after reading the book, I look at this movie and I'm just thinking, okay, you're going to try and take this really cool book, condense it down into 2 hours, maybe 2 hours and 20 minutes, just because, you know, movies seem to run a little longer these days. you're going to show me a lot of computer graphics, and it's basically going to be cliff notes. You know, stick with the book. The book was great. I wholeheartedly recommend the book.
What about Brave? Are you one of the big...
The Pixar movie?
Yeah, the Pixar can do no wrong. Everything they do is the best movie of the year.
You know, I've enjoyed Pixar films.
I thought Up was a complete waste of time. I thought Wall-E was a complete waste of time.
See, I never saw either one of those.
Well, then... Okay, just take a deep breath. I tell you to go and watch the damn things, but you ain't got no TV.
That does, you know, kind of create a limited possibility. But
yeah.
I don't know, Brave, you know, it's one of those movies, yeah, if I had kids, I'd probably take them to go see it, but... just me by myself, it's not intriguing enough to... I feel like I've seen it.
I keep thinking it's How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
With a girl.
Yeah.
You know, or How to Train Your Female Dragon.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I can say about Brave, just going off the preview, is that it is cool, especially given the fact that Disney's involved with it now that they've basically absorbed Pixar. But, you know, you think back on all the other Disney films where it's always just been, okay, you know, you've got this 16-year-old girl who basically, you know, has some life-changing adventure, and then she goes off and marries the first guy that she meets. This is actually, you know, like an independent, strong-willed female character that I'm kind of going, wow, this is interesting. Okay, you know, I'm kind of... I hate to use the word role model, especially when we're dealing with, you know, animation here, but it's like, wow, at least she's not just like, oh, great, I'm just going to go and live happily ever after and try and perpetuate that myth, because, you know, let's face it, it don't happen.
I still don't care. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
That one could be good.
That's the new Steve Carell, Keira Knightley flick where the world's ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... I haven't seen a preview. I don't want to see a preview.
I have seen...
I know enough about it to know I don't want to know anymore.
Yeah, I've seen a commercial for it. If they do it right, it could be good. If they pull some lame-ass crap of, well, the meteor was going to hit us, but it just missed us. Okay, sorry we put you through all this. Carry on with your lives now, folks. It's like, no, don't give me that ending crap. Just,
yeah.
Let me see what's going to happen. You don't even have to show me the end of the world. Just tell me that the end of the world is going to happen. And it's just like, okay, we're going to wake up tomorrow and we're not going to be here. You know? It's like, okay, fine.
And then we got To Realm with Love.
Ah, yes. That's the Woody Allen film we were talking about last time.
Forget this. I'm completely moving away from this. We're not even... I knew I was going to just totally move it. And dadgummit. Well, you got a free plug from me, I guess, Woody Allen. You jerk. All right. All the people that didn't get a chance in the theater. Didn't that just come out this year?
What, John Carter?
Yeah, didn't John Carter, like, start the summer movie, like, the summer movie kickoff thing, and now it's, like, coming out on DVD Tuesday? That is really sad.
I thought it was, like, a Christmas movie.
No. Was it?
Unless it was a summer film last year, but that would be too long for that thing to go. Yeah, it had to have been a Christmas movie.
No, it was spring. It was spring. It was March.
Okay.
It's got it. I'm almost positive.
It was one of those, I kept hearing mixed reviews about it. Again, crazy shit happening in my life, so I never really made a chance to see it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Yeah. I've always wanted to, because I enjoyed the books, but, yeah.
You heard anything about Machine Gun Preacher?
I heard it was pretty decent.
Safe House,
I actually saw that. You know, it's enjoyable.
Well,
they have Smokey and the Bandit. What?
What? Where are you seeing things? On Blu-ray, buddy.
Okay.
It's important to have
movies
that were not shot in high definition on Blu-ray.
Exactly.
All right, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
You know, you loved it. You didn't even see it, I guarantee you.
I enjoyed the first one. I thought the second one was just...
You saw the second one?
Yeah, because I enjoyed the first one, and I just found it appalling. I hated that movie. I seriously, I don't have enough bad things to say about it.
I thought Ghost Rider looked really cool. I mean, I thought I loved his look in the new one.
Oh, okay.
You know, I loved the whole burnt charred thing. And I thought it was cool. Yeah. There was, like, virtually no plot at all.
No.
Like, no story. It was almost shocking how lack of anyone trying to tell a story.
Yeah, it was a movie of nothing. Nothing happened in that movie.
All right, well, you got anything else to say, Alex?
No, I guess that pretty much takes care of everything, so.
All right, well, until next time, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you give us any feedback. Rate us. Let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
Take it easy. Don't see Prometheus.
This has been a Phase Media Podcast. Find us online at justaphase.com. That's Phase with a mother effin' F.